This is Rabbi Kovacs wishing all my friends in Mishnah Yomi land a gut moed, modim l'simcha. We are in our final stretch of Eduyot in chapter 8, Mishnayot 3 and 4, and Bezrat Hashem, Erev Shabbat, will be starting Avodah Zorah. So here's Mishnah Gimel. Heyid Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, al almonat Isa. They testified about an almonat Isa. Almana is a widow. Isa means a dough, a mixture. And what's going on here, why she's called an almanat Isa, is because this woman married into a family where there was a doubt about the family, where someone in the family had been married and the husband threw the get to the wife, and we didn't know whether the get landed closer to him or closer to her. It's a case we had in Gittin where it's Suffolk Migureshet. We're not really sure if she's divorced. And then that husband actually passed away. So we don't know if this woman was divorced or widowed. And then this family member married a Kohen, making the children a Suffolk Halal. Because if a Kohen marries a divorced woman, the children are a Halal. They're not fit to serve in the temple as full Kohanim. So the Almanat Isa in question, she married into this family that had this halachic doubt about one of the members of the family. So here the rabbis are testifying, Shehi Kishera LeKehuna, this particular widow who had married into the family, then the husband passed away, she can then marry a Kohen. And the reason is a Sfeik Sfeika. There's two doubts here. There's a doubt that the original woman in question was divorced or widowed. She could well be a widow and kosher to marry a Kohen. And there's a doubt if her particular husband who passed away was the descendant of that particular woman with the halachic doubt. So there are two doubts here at play. So they allowed her to wed a Kohen now. And they add to this, Sha'isa Kishera, the family that has some sort of halachic doubt mixed in somewhere, they're still a kosher family. They're still considered an upright Jewish family. And therefore, when they go about figuring out who to marry, letame letacher, they have to check if the person they're going to marry is unfit to marry Kohanim. They say tame here, not literally, but meaning a woman who couldn't marry into the Kohanim, or letacher, or she can, lerochek, lekarv, whether they should bring her into the family or not let her marry into the family. The hashkafic idea here is just because there's something wrong with your family or your personal situation, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to do your best to make things right from now on and double check things that you, to consider yourself really an upstanding part of the Jewish people. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel responded to this testimony. Kibolnu edutchem, we accept your testimony, we believe this is what the sages taught in the early generation. Avom manase, but what can we do about it? Shegozer Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai already made a ruling. Shalola hoshi bate dinim al kach, we do not set up a court, we do not have convene a court for the purpose of allowing this Almanat Isa to marry a Kohen, implying if they already got married, the Kohen already married the Almanat Isa, we would allow their marriage to continue, but we wouldn't convene a court just for the purpose of writing her a harsha, a permission to do so. And Rabban Gamliel adds, HaKohanim shomim lachem merochek, and Kohanim would listen to the court if they were merochek. They said that you should distance yourself from this Almanat Isa, but they wouldn't even listen to the court anyway if we gave this woman permission to marry a Kohen. The Kohanim are being strict on themselves, and they are not following this testimony that a double doubt would be permitted. On to Mishnah Dalet, Heyid Rabbi Yossi ben Yo'ezer ish Tzreida, he was from Tzreida, ol ayal kamtza dochon. Now an ayal is a wild deer, but a kamtza is a grasshopper, famous from the Kamsa bar Kamsa story back in Gittin about the Churban, the destruction of the Second Temple. But this ayal kamtza is a specific species of grasshopper, and dochon means tahor, means pure, means kosher. This is a kosher grasshopper. We just mentioned the juice that runs out when you salt grasshoppers back on Erev Shabbat learning. The olmashke bet mitbachya, and the liquids in the slaughtering place, that's where they would butcher the animals in the temple, de inun dochyan, they are pure, they are not contaminated. Now there's blood there. There's also water that's used to rinse off the kishkas and help with the processing the animals for karbanot in the temple. Now they're all pure because the rabbinic gezeira of impurity of liquids was not applied to the temple. Now liquids can become impure, at least on a rabbinical level, and some sources say liquids can become impure on a biblical level, but do not transmit that impurity except on a rabbinical level. When we get into kalim, we're going to see there's all sorts of special rules by tuma of liquids that are not the same for solids. But in any event, his testimony was these rabbinical restrictions about contamination through liquids were not applied in the temple. So don't worry about stepping in the puddle of mixed water, blood, etc. when you're in the temple butchering the karbonot. Finally, he added, Ud yikrov b'mita, somebody who approaches a corpse, mistav, is impure. Now, that should sound completely obvious. And the Bartnura here points out that someone definitely touched a corpse is definitely impure. But a suffix, what if there's a doubt if they had any contact with the corpse? Then a suffix tuma, a doubtful impurity, birshuta rabim, in a public area, balahatir. This is what he's allowing. He's saying if you definitely touched it, you're impure. If you really have no idea and it's a public area, we can be makel. It's a limud we learned out from Sota. We discussed this in Sota. But this is actually a law deraita, that suffek tuma in a public domain is considered pure. This is considered tahor. This is a law deraita. So the Bartner explains, Mikomakom kodem shaba Yosi ben Yoezer, before he came along with this testimony, hayu omrim, they would say, halacha ve'ein morin ken. They would say this halacha over as being true in the base midrash, but they wouldn't want to spread this around because they didn't want people to be careless with impurity, even in the public domain. Continuing in the Peirush of Bartnura, Bahu, Yosi ben Yoezer, he came along, Veheid, and made this testimony, Shemorin ken lechatchila, you could teach this lechatchila, you could tell everybody this halacha. And back in the Mishnah continues, Karule Yose Sharya, they called him Yose the permitter. He permitted these three things that people had been noheg restriction previously. And it appears to me this wasn't chas v'shalom, this wasn't an insult to Rabbi Yossi, but it could also be a praise because it takes a lot of halachic certainty to permit something that other sages are, at least out of a doubt, saying it may not be permitted. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes about this in Igrot Moshe. He says, you know, it can take a lot more analysis and certainty and really delving into the sources to permit something, whereas to say something is forbidden, well, if there's a doubt, maybe we'll just be machmer, we'll be stringent and to be on the safe side, rule it is forbidden. So it's a real lesson. If a sage is coming to permit something and they know what they're talking about and they've done all the analysis and they've been in the sugya and they know exactly what they're talking about, that is a very high level of scholarship and something that can be respected. Yishar kohachem, a good mode.